This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I don't know about you, but I like the idea of peace between Russia and Ukraine, and to hear them say they got an envoy on their way to Moscow now to get peace. Bring it, baby. Bring me the peace. I love it. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today, Wednesday, March 12th. Look at us. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I just got done filling in for Dana Lash on her national show. If you were listening, thank you. And if not, you can do it tomorrow and Friday. I'll be in for Dana all week and then doing this show as well. So there's a lot. And while I was on her show, because her show's on 12 to 3, I noticed that the president was speaking from the Oval Office. We didn't take it live, but he spoke for a long time. So it's probably good I didn't take it live since I wouldn't have had any time on the show. We do have a lot of audio cuts for you, though, a lot of things. One thing I noticed, though, about a topic that's starting to get more and more attention is something I never thought I had to worry about in my life. Microplastics in my freaking brain. I got enough things to worry about. And that in a person who identifies as turtle gender. That's actually a real thing. That's a real thing. Turtle gender. No, I swear, somebody who identifies as turtle gender. So you're asking me what I mean by that? I mean, a person who thinks that they're a turtle, I guess, I think. But anyway, microplastics, this is a real thing. And they're in your tap water, and the water treatment processing plants can't filter this out. They can't filter out the little microplastics. And so it's getting into our brains and our lungs. And then you're stuck with microplastics in your brain. Which microplastics in your brain was my Queensryche cover band name in college. We are microplastics in your brain. Now, this is part of what the MAHA movement's all about, Make America Healthy Again. It's getting crap like that out of the water supply. And I'll tell you, as a guy who likes to cook, and I'll be making some homemade bread this weekend, I'm thinking pizza. It's been a while. I got my scooter. I'm ready to get going again. So I think Chef Reagan and I will make some pies this weekend, but after all, it is the time for the Irish. I'll make an Irish pizza with I guess corned beef and cabbage. Just kidding. I would never do that. That'd be a disgrazia. The Irish Prime Minister was at the White House today, and I'll get into some of that with you. There was a great joke about Rosie O'Donnell. Like, you sure you want her in Ireland, Mr. Prime Minister? Are you sure you want her? But I noticed this. We have our sourdough starter, which if you bake bread, you make pizza yourself. Please use a sourdough starter. It'll change your life. It really will. Sourdough is so much better for your gut. and your gut microbiome, which is getting more and more attention these days. And it also helps the bread ferment a whole lot better than just using yeast. And it results in that crispy, chewy, beautiful crust dough that you want in bread, pizza, bagels, pretzels, whatever you make. And it really is a lot better for you. It digests more slowly, and it's got more fiber in it, and it's really good for you. But I noticed that we were feeding our sourdough starter, and it kept dying on us. And we were using bottled water, but even bottled water has chlorine in it. And chlorine kills my sourdough starter. So then we had to put in a whole home water filtration system, which gets the chlorine out, the microplastics out, the fluoride out, and the heavy metals and all the other nonsense that's in our tap water. Utah banning fluoride from water, drinking water, which I think is good. There's no reason to ingest it into your body. You can brush your teeth. The MAHA movement is taking off, and we've learned now that Girl Scout cookies have a lot of bad things in them too, like glyphosate and Thin Mints. Now, I'm still going to eat my Thin Mints, obviously, and you put them in the freezer. Papa Zioli taught me that trick many, many years ago. You take the Thin Mints, you put them in the freezer. But the MAHA movement is a real, real thing. And the other thing that's a real thing is shutting down the Department of Education, because parents have had it. It was 5 years ago this week that we got word that the kids were coming home from school. 5 year anniversary of COVID, when schools shut down, but the liquor stores remained open, and parents started day drinking, and also, in air quotes here, I'm using air quotes, teaching their children. We are streaming live on YouTube, by the way, if you'd like to see my air quotes or anything else that we're doing. Yeah, we were supposed to teach our kids. They'd send us home with a couple lesson plans and a 10-minute video, and they'd go, good luck. And then the parents would pop open the Chardonnay or fill up their water bottles with vodka and walk around the neighborhood. You know what I mean? Just trying to get through all this, wondering how long this was going to last. 5 years ago. And Jason O'Reilly with a piece in the Wall Street Journal about how truancy rates have gone up in New York City. They were like at 25% pre-COVID. Now they're at about 35%. And the other issue, too, of course, is that even all these years later, our kids are still lagging behind in math and science and test scores. So, yeah, you know what? Shut down the Department of Education. Shut it down. Good. I say shut it down and be done with it. End it. We don't need the Department of Education. It doesn't educate a single child in this country. And so when they said that they're locking up the doors and they're firing half the staff, I said, great, good, good riddance. Give it back to the states and let the parents be in charge of the process again. And then we can fight out all these battles on the local level, which is where we should be fighting these things. And that's good. The other issue, too, is that I think that when you look at the Make America Healthy Again movement, the engagement of parents in schools, the getting the transgender nonsense out of our classrooms, out of kids' sports, out of athletics and everything else, suburban moms and dads who are independents, who might even vote Democrat, they're interested in voting for Trump on these issues. They really are. Because I talk to these parents, I know what they're thinking. And they're very frustrated, and they're very worried about their kids' health, to be honest with you. I saw some posts today on social media about how Trump's cuts. Oh, it was his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, the idiot governor of New Jersey, who said Trump's cuts will lead to our kids not getting healthy school lunches. Dude, your royal highness, I don't know last time you checked, but our kids are not getting healthy school lunches. The school cafeteria is like a convenience store for drunk college kids at 2 a.m. Really is. It's the kind of crap I used to get from the Philadelphia Cheesesteak Factory at the University of Maryland College Park after the VU would close at 3:30 a.m. It's not good for you. And that's what our kids are eating in the cafeteria. So parents are very frustrated by all this. And looking at the effect 5 years later of COVID shutting down the schools and thinking about the power that these elected officials can have over our kids, you really understand why it is that parents are saying, yeah, you know what, considering that the DOE worked with the teachers unions and the CDC to keep classrooms closed and everything else, I don't want these people having any more power. I really don't. I don't want these people having any more power. President said that today from the Oval Office with the Irish Prime Minister in the Oval Office. We're going to move education back to the States. Let's cue up cut number 10 here. This is very important. And the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. With spring here, it's a perfect time for you to get that beautiful smile of yours looking great. Get your free implant consultation by calling my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria at VeneriaDental.com. Here's the president on the Department of Education, cut number 10.
They're not doing a good job. And if you take a look at our education process, and if you look at the charts, because they have numerous charts where they do the top 40, we're at number 37, 38, 39, and 40. And recently they hit, during Biden's last few days, they hit last. So they were number 40, and yet we're number one in cost per pupil. So it's pretty bad. But we have a dream. And you know what the dream is? We're going to move the Department of Education. We're going to move education into the states so that the states, instead of bureaucrats working in Washington, so that the states can run education.
Yeah, let the states run the Department of Education. That's good. And then parents on the local level can deal with these issues, and parents can be involved and have parental rights in education. It's a huge movement across the country. You know, a lot of these moms, I see them on social media all the time commenting on, say, the New Jersey governor's race, which is coming up next year. The parental rights movement is probably the biggest issue driving this election in New Jersey. And if we don't win this one, you know, because this is our moment. This is our chance now to flip New Jersey red and follow the model that Governor Glenn Youngkin did in Virginia. This is how Youngkin won in Virginia. He won in Virginia by running on a parental rights message. And Terry McAuliffe, who was the governor of Virginia and then ran again, he said he was caught on that off the record thing, or maybe he didn't intend for it to go viral. I forget. But he basically said, yeah, parents shouldn't be involved in the process. Youngkin won on that message. And whoever the Republican nominee is for governor of New Jersey in 2025 also needs to run on that message as well. And COVID was a gigantic wake up call for us as parents. I remember it. I do. I remember it like it was yesterday. Got a note. My wife said to me, I was on the air, I was doing mornings, and it was just towards the end of the show, we got the note that said, the kids will be sent home from school today. Don't come back. Yakety yak. Don't come back. So the other thing, too, is that that Palestinian activist who's going to be deported from this country. You know, I had mixed thoughts on this yesterday. I still think we have to be very cautious about this. But Ilya Shapiro, who is a libertarian constitutional scholar and a professor of constitutional law and the director of the Manhattan Institute's Constitutional Studies, he's got a whole piece in the New York Post today about this saying, yeah, we should deport this kid. It's good for America to deport him. So I'll share those thoughts with you as the show goes on today. But the other issue is higher education. Parents wind up sending their kids to college, and by the time the kids get to college, college costs are so expensive, and then they got to deal with all the nonsense of wokeness on college campuses, too. Department of Education also deals with colleges as well. So this is a great time now to move forward on this issue. It really is. It's a great time to move forward on this issue. And I, for one, I'm happy about this. Move it to the states. Here's Secretary Linda McMahon. She was on with Fox News last night. She said, yeah, you know what? The mass firings, this is the first step in eliminating this bureaucratic bloat. Cut number 11.
In studio with me for. Now, is this the first step on the road to a total shutdown?
Yes, actually it is, because that was the president's mandate. This directive to me clearly is to shut down the Department of Education, which we know we'll have to work with Congress, you know, to get that accomplished. But what we did today was to take the first step of eliminating what I think is bureaucratic bloat. And that's not to say that a lot of the folks, you know, it's a humanitarian thing too. A lot of the folks that are there, you know, they're out of a job. But we wanted to make sure that we kept all of the right people and the good people to make sure that the outward-facing programs, the grants, the appropriations that come from Congress, all of that are being met, and none of that's going to fall through the cracks.
And yet, the troll under the bridge, Randy Weingarten, is having an unhinged meltdown. Let's cube cut number 12. This is the president of the American Federation of Teachers and the woman who waits for your children to get their milk money. Hey, kids. Give me your milk money. Randy Weingarten, cut number 12.
is why so many people are so mad about it, because they're just taking opportunity away from kids that don't have it. So billionaires, kids are billionaires, they have it. They go to private schools. Everyone else, 90%, go to public schools. Don't take away their opportunity.
So let's stay on the facts.
Sorry.
No,
I'm really angry about this.
No, because this
I'm
is
really
what
angry.
Need to hear.
I taught kids in Clara Barton High School in Brooklyn.
Okay, she's really angry. The troll under the bridge is very angry, kids. Hide your milk money. Hide it. Well, Linda McMahon, who's soon to be out of a job herself, because that's literally her job, is to put herself out of a job as the education secretary, roasted the troll under the bridge. Cut 13.
Well, clearly we're not taking away education. The president never said that. He's taken the bureaucracy out of education so that more money flows to the states. Better education is closest to the kids, with parents, with local superintendents, with local school boards. I think we'll see our scores go up with our students when we can educate them with parental input as well.
Well, she's very angry. And over the weekend, I posted on X that it would be nice if Randy were ever angry about the abysmal 8th grade and 4th grade reading
and math
proficiency. You see those numbers, like 18%, 22% of proficiency or above? In 4th and 8th grade, we rank near the bottom globally on these standards. Well, it's shocking, given how much, and we're putting up a graphic, given how much we spend. It's terrible.
Well, I'll tell you, it's unbelievable. And when you think about high school seniors that are graduating, only 30% of them are reading proficiently. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't read words, but they can't read cognitively. And that's what we're missing. You know, you read to learn up until third grade, and then after that, you're learning to read up until the end of third grade, then you're reading to learn. And if you can't read after the end of third grade, you're going to be behind in your reading. And so that's what we have to focus on.
Well, you know, I say to my own.
Now, I got a question for you. Have you thought about cursive writing? Have you thought about cursive writing going away, going the way of the dinosaurs? So it turns out, the very first bad grade I got, which would be the first of many in my life, was penmanship. I'm not even joking with you. I was in fifth grade, and I got a C in penmanship. Shocking, I know, that my penmanship is terrible, and it really is. I hate writing. I tend to like write. I don't like cursive writing. As you can see, as I demonstrate in our YouTube chat, that I have like Trumpian signature about the way I write things. But cursive is going away. Have you thought about this in your own life for your kids and why it matters? My friend Dawn Fantasia, who's a New Jersey assemblywoman, she's got a bill that passed the assembly, and it's going to ensure the kids learn cursive writing. Now, at first glance, you say to yourself, that doesn't seem like that big of an issue, does it? Like, is this really worth fighting for? But her point was, everybody should be able to learn how to sign their name. Yeah, you don't think about that. But, I mean, have you thought about your kids being able to sign their name one day on something? And if they're not learning cursive writing, what are they going to do? Like, it just... You know, I mean, I understand everything's going digital signature-wise nowadays, but many times you still have to sign actual forms. Reading handwriting. Like, I mean, like, Mama Zioli still writes in cursive. So when she sends cards to the kids, it's in cursive handwriting. So it's one of those, it seems like a minor point. You go, well, is this really a hill to die on? But first of all, I'm never a believer in saying we can't walk and chew gum at the same time. We can accomplish multiple things at once. But number two, I don't see a downside to our kids learning cursive writing. I really don't. I don't see any downside to it. I only see an upside to it. The fact that we have to kind of codify this into law, though, that our kids will have to learn cursive up to fifth grade, seems to me to be a sign of how the education system has lost something that is vital to what kids need to learn. Like, my son says this all the time to me. You know, Patrick's in fourth grade. He's like, Dad, why can't we learn about the things like how to make money, how to balance money, like deal with money, manage money? And I get what he's saying, which is to make education a lot more practical for kids. I will say, though, my son is learning the American Revolution right now, and he's having a blast learning about it. And I love it, too, because he comes home and he tells me all about what he learned, you know, like Lexington and Concord. And he tells me all about, apparently, there was something that happened in Philadelphia with the Revolutionary War. all kinds of things. I'm learning so much from my son. It's actually exciting to me because the revolution is my favorite war in terms of wars that I mean, it's the birth of our country, obviously. So I love learning about it, and I love reliving it with him, the education around it. And I keep kind of seeing if there's any wokeness involved. Like he said to me yesterday, he goes, we had to learn how to make protest signs in school yesterday. I said, uh-oh. My radar went up for a second. I said, what? And he said, yeah, like no taxation without representation. Like they did back in the colonies, Dad. I said, oh, okay. Okay, very good. I like that. That's good. All right. Very good. I like that. That's good. So there you go. So what do you think? Cursive writing. Is it worth fighting for? I don't see a downside. I really don't. I think there's more upside to kids learning. I see her point when it comes to signing and being able to read certain things. And also there are writings that are written in cursive writing, too. There are actually writings that are written in cursive that would be good for kids to learn to read as well. So, again, I don't see a downside to it. What I do see a downside to is everything we're subsidizing when it comes to our electric bills. A whole lot of green nonsense. A whole lot of green nonsense, which we're going to talk about. But not the kind of green nonsense around Ireland. Because the Prime Minister of Ireland was in the Oval Office today with the President. And the president was joking around with him today about Rosie O'Donnell. He actually asked a question about Rosie O'Donnell, who has now, of course, since fled the United States of America and is off to Ireland. So as we get ready for the St. Patrick's Day season, the question of whether or not we should all be wearing shamrock socks. Let's cue up cut number 8 here. I noticed this in the Oval Office today watching it. Everybody had green on and green ties except for POTUS. He was rocking the red. And J.D. Vance had shamrock socks on. And J.D. was wearing the pants. You know, you sit down sometimes and your pants go real high up on your legs. So the test for me when I'm at the tailor is when I sit down, how high the pant leg goes up. It's a crucial issue. Really is. You don't want to show too much leg, especially if you're a guy. But anyway, here's the president poking fun of J.D.'s socks. Cut number 8.
I have to speak of inflation. I love these socks. What's with these socks?
President Trump.
I'm trying to stay focused, but I'm very impressed with the VP socks.
Yeah, there you go. Those shamrock socks, baby. And Lucky Charms cereal. Lucky Charms cereal has a lot of crap in it. But not when it's bought in Europe or Canada, because they limit the ingredients there. But Lucky Charms, a very popular cereal. I don't know if you feed your kids that. I mean, have you thought about that stuff lately when you're in the grocery store? My kids love that. Because they position it in the grocery store where your kids see it. And they go, Mom, Dad, can we get Lucky Charms? And it's like, all right, it's, you know, once a year, you know, don't make a habit of it, that sort of thing. But then you find out Lucky Charms in Canada and Europe has, what, like 3 ingredients in it, whereas the box they sell in America has like 300 ingredients in it. And you go, why can't we just even this out? But I want to be fair, okay? I want to be fair to Rosie O'Donnell. She did leave. A lot of celebrities said they'd leave, but they didn't leave. They just stayed in America and whined, not Rosie. Rosie had the courage of her convictions and left. So the president and the Irish prime minister reacting to Rosie O'Donnell moving to Ireland. Cut number 9.
Ireland is known for very happy, fun-loving people, great attitude, many in this room right now that I've met. Why in the world would you let Rosie O'Donnell move to Ireland? I think she's going to lower your happiness level.
That's true. Thank you. I like that question.
Mr. Prime Minister, are you expecting?
Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
You better not know.
President Trump.
Going to miss her. Gonna miss her. Ireland needs all the luck it can get after that, am I right? All right, coming up next Friday is our big Travis Mannion Foundation Radiothon. We devote the whole day to helping this incredible organization. My friend Ryan Mannion, Gold Star sister and president of the Travis Mannion Foundation, will join me next. We'll talk about the state of Veterans Affairs in America, how our vets are doing. We'll preview the event. And later in the show, Congressman Scott Perry is going to be here. We'll talk about the continuing resolution vote. And he's got a very interesting bill that we're going to talk about with him. Weigh in on these issues. You think our kids should learn cursive writing? Let me know what you think. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Coming right back.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yes, and on next Friday, our annual Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon. I hope you'll join us for that. We do it every year, and it's a great, great day. It's a great celebration. Here to talk about it with me, this and other things, my friend, Gold Star sister, and the president of the Travis Manning Foundation, Ryan Manning, also host of a killer podcast we'll talk about in just a moment. Ryan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Listen, you caught me off guard with the Zoom, so apologies for coming on in the car, but I'm happy to join you here.
You have a face for television. We can't just isolate you to the airwaves. Okay. Sorry, but that's not how it works.
I'll take it.
Well, you're always working out like a Spartan, so, you know, I mean, come on.
Listen, you know, we're getting ready. We've got a big workout coming up with the Travis Manning Foundation, the Manning Wad. So it's like a killer workout, and I got to train for it every year. So I try to put some videos up to get people pumped up and ready for it.
I like it. I like it. That's the way it's got to go. That's good. So we have our radiothon next Friday. We're very, very excited about it. We'll be hanging out all day, and it's going to be a great day like it always is. And how are our veterans doing right now in America? It's a question I get asked all the time.
You know, I think if I could say honestly, I think there's definitely a little bit of what's the right word? You know, people are definitely feeling uneasy because there are a ton of changes. I actually see it for my daughter as a midshipman at the Naval Academy. You know, she's talking to me about all new executive orders that are coming down and regulations. And I see it as like coming back to center on the things that we should be doing with our military. But I think in some ways, things have gotten kind of lax, you know, and so people are like, wait, what's happening? And Maggie's, you know, my daughter's like, yeah, we're going to have uniform inspections every week. I'm like, yeah, so keep your uniform clean. But like, they're not used to some of these things, you know, so, you know, you see it on the left, and the left is like hysterical about everything going on. But I see it as just kind of coming back to center and resetting what our military is about to be, you know, the number one fighting force in the world. And that's good. What we should all want.
Absolutely, we should want that. And I think it's amazing that your daughter is at the Naval Academy. I really do. That is remarkable. Following in her uncle Travis's footsteps. I mean, that's you got that'd be make you so proud when she wanted to do that. And then when she got in.
Yeah, it's I could not be more proud or in awe of her, because it's something I certainly couldn't do. And, you know, to see her as an 18-year-old like going through it, it's and see all these kids that sign up and do this. It's truly it. Renews my sense of pride and patriotism for this country when I see these young kids stepping forward every day.
Ryan Mannion, the numbers are up, recruitment numbers are up since President Trump's taken office and Pete Hegseth has got in there as defense secretary. And his ethos of being, you know, a warrior ethos and a mindset of the Pentagon existing for the warriors and not bogging them down in endless wars, but making sure that if we have to fight one, we can win one, and putting our warriors first and foremost. These are all great things that should inspire people to want to serve our country. And everybody should be proud of that fact that young people say, I'd love to wear the uniform and serve my country.
Yeah, and I think that's something that has over the years been kind of stripped away, this idea that there's something, you know, adverse about joining the military. You know, I certainly have never felt that. The community within the Travis Mannion Foundation hasn't felt that. But, you know, I think where we are today is like I said, like bringing it back to what the military represents to this country. And it's less than 1% of the population. And if you look at this idea that recruitment numbers have been down, the only service branch that's been meeting its recruitment numbers over the past few years is the Marine Corps. And so you have to look at that and say, why is that? Why does this exist? You know, and mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, it was because there was just a lot of confusion around what our military represented to this country. And I think when you bring it back, like Pete said, bring it back to the basics, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, let's go. And the families in the Midwest with the 18-year-old kid, it becomes okay for their son to sign up and go and join the military. Where before they were wondering like, is this where I want to send my son, you know, yeah. or daughter?
Yeah. And, you know, I remember when we had the withdrawal from Afghanistan, which was an absolute disaster. I remember you and I were on the phone during that. You were working to get people out of Afghanistan. You were doing so much work on that. I think after that, there was this real period of just, I mean, morale plummeted. People didn't want to sign up. There was a real sense of we were supposed to be the best in the world here, and this happened. And am I wrong to think that was a real problem for our military?
Oh my gosh! I mean, on both sides of the aisle, I think everyone was aligned that it was probably the most colossal military failure of my lifetime, and to see what happened was just such a failure from the administration to the State Department. And, you know, yeah, and there was a kind of like, what are we sending our sons and daughters off to do? You know, and who's in charge here, frankly? Yeah. And, you know, I think, again, with Pete, you know, I've had Pete on my podcast. I've challenged Pete. Pete, when he brought his book out, War on Warriors, there were some lines in there that I didn't agree with around women in combat roles, as my daughter had just gone off into the military. And in fact, there was one line in his book where I challenged him on that line because it was specifically about women in the military. And I challenged him on it. And he said it was not meant to be read that way. And I promise in the second edition, I'm going to edit this line. And so I felt a lot better about that conversation with him. And I urged everyone who was up in arms about him getting, you know, being up for defense secretary to go and listen to my interview with him, because I said, I think you're going to hear, you know, it's one thing to see things written in a book, but go and listen to that, because yeah. at the end of the day, he just wants like a fighting force to protect each and every one of us, you know?
Yeah, and not deal with climate change, because that's not the military's job to deal with climate change. I was glad he came out and said that yeah. the other day, too. Like, that's not why we're here, okay?
And, you know, I think, again, this post-9/11 generation, what a lot of people don't understand is, like, you know, there's, I call them celeb vets, right? So there's a lot of post 9/11 veterans who have like kind of risen to celebrity status. And Pete was one of them with, you know, doing Fox and Friends for many years. And the way they come at each other, the celeb vets on the left and the celeb vets on the right, I mean, all they exist to do is take each other down. And mm-hmm. it's so cutthroat and it's so contrary to what they should be exhibiting in this moment. And in this time, and I hated nothing more than seeing all these post 9/11 veterans coming out against Pete in such a crazy way. Really because again, they just didn't align with his politics, not celebrating and recognizing, hey, it's one of us. It's one of us that, you know, served in Afghanistan, served in Iraq, that's going to get in there and, you know, understands this generation of leaders, you know, and this generation of service members.
Yeah, well said. Ryan Madden is with me, Travis Madden Foundation, our big radiothon next Friday. Ryan's also the host of the Resilient Life podcast, which I definitely recommend you subscribe to. And she's had some amazing guests on her podcast as well. Jack Carr has been on your podcast. By the way, I love that guy. He's killing it. And it was really, really cool the other day to see Tulsi Gabbard wearing the Jack Carr hat, of which I have one somewhere. Yeah. And then Tulsi wearing that. And then he posted it to Instagram. She posted it to Instagram. I was like, that's so freaking cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love just that connection. I actually was just on Jack's podcast last week. He interviewed me. So he flipped the table on things and that was fun. And, you know, along with the Resilient Life, I just launched a podcast with Barstool as well.
Congratulations. That is amazing. Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah. So it's called Bold American. It's with two West Point graduates. And, you know, it's about, you know, we talk about all things military and just everything that is important to Americans, you know. So definitely would love for people to check it out.
Oh, absolutely. Now, are you and Portnoy going to go out there and rate pizza together?
I mean, I'd love to do a pizza review. He actually was at our gala this year and left and drove down to the Army-Navy game and stopped in Delaware at a pizza spot. And a bunch of people sent it to me because he was, you know, he said, I'm just coming from the Travis Manning Foundation Gala and I had to stop somewhere and do a pizza review. But I got to think of a good place to go with them. So,
yeah. Because, I mean, it can change the lives of that pizzeria. But it could also hurt them in a negative way. But you know what I say? Let the pizza speak for itself. That's the way I say it, Ryan. You know what I mean? Let the pizza speak for itself. If it's good, it will rise. If not, you know, not so much. That's how I look at it.
Yes. That's
my feeling on this. Radiothon next week is a very, very important day for the Travis Manning Foundation. The Talk Radio 1210 WPHD audience steps up every year and does so much to help out. We're very, very proud of this partnership we have with TMF, very proud of our friendship with you and everybody else who's there. So what can we look forward to next Friday when we do our Radiothon?
Well, I mean, we look forward to a whole day of you talking for 12 hours. What could be more fun than that? You know, I mean, that's what's always fun for me to see you in the morning looking so fresh and alive and full of energy. And then to see you right when that 7 o'clock hits and just like you grabbing that beer and you looking like you just like walked through a tornado for 5 hours, you know, so. I mean, I think that's what you look forward to. But
I think I did have a breakdown at 6:58 p.m. last year.
You did.
I think that's,
you in fact did.
Yeah. Well, it's because your adrenaline is so high all day long, and then all of a sudden it's just like boom. So your whole body just reacts to it, you know. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, we're so grateful to Odyssey and 1210 and most especially your listeners who, like you said, show up in such a huge way every year, getting us over that $100,000 mark and, you know, raising funds that go back to support our military community, veterans and families of the fallen. And so just so grateful for the Zeoli Army and how they show up each and every year on that day.
Yeah, they really do. And it's always an honor to do that. And you know, we'll do dinner again with some listeners who help out and step up big time. And God only knows what medical issue I'll be going through then. But hopefully, you know, we won't have to put it off. I mean, that's amazing is that I had to reschedule it for shingles. Then I wound up getting a staph infection in my foot. I may want to just do dinner in like a secluded bubble so that this way there's no chance of but we're looking forward to doing that again. And maybe we could even have some people come in for a Ryan Mannion podcast taping exclusive or something like that. That could be a pretty cool
thing. That could actually be cool. Maybe for the Barstool podcast, that could be cool, like, you know, yeah, that's it. Listen, bold American. There's nothing bolder than coming out and supporting our military and calling into the show. That could be a good item. I think back to some of our guests. I know Pete's called in before. Tulsi calls in every year. I'm like, gosh, we've got all these cabinet members that show up for us every year. You know, Jack Carr's calling in. So we might have a special guest in studio. I'm working on that right now that I think people will be excited for. So it's a fun day.
Good. Excellent. Well, go to Barstool Sports and sign up and get the Bold American Pod. Subscribe where you get your podcasts and also the Resilient Life podcast, Ryan Mannion. I look forward to hanging out with you next Friday, my friend. It's always a blast. It's always a great day. And all the wonderful people from the Travis Mannion Foundation, your incredible team, the volunteers who help out that day. So many Gold Star families are involved, too. It really is a day that makes us all proud. So we're looking forward to that next week. Thank you for quickly adjusting to our Zoom. That's what I love about you. You're a multimedia rock star. You just go with it.
There you go. Listen, I'm in my getting ready to walk out and go watch my daughter play some lacrosse. So what better way to end a Wednesday? So thank you so much, Rich. I'm looking forward to next week.
All right, Ryan. Thanks, my friend.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along the show here today, next week's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited for it. I really, really am. Let's think about what happened today at the Oval Office, what the president have to say about Russia and Ukraine, because God knows we would love for there to be peace. We would love for that to be over once and for all and have peace. The other thing we're looking forward to is spring break. It's right around the corner. Spring break and Easter, and what are you doing with the kids when they're off from school? I have a suggestion for you. Take them to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. That's right. It is their spring break splash package, and it's a wonderful day. You'll have a beautiful heated indoor pool, Hemingway's restaurant right there. The more you stay, the more you save, and breakfast is included with every package. And the weather's beautiful in April in Cape May. Are you kidding me? It's gorgeous. So make your reservation today by going to grandhotelcapemay.com. And don't forget, look, summer's right around the corner. You know what I mean? Like, before we know it, it's going to be Memorial Day. We're like, how is it summer already? Because that's what happens. It always sneaks up on us. Don't lose out on the best rooms for your summer vacation. I think staying at the Grand makes so much more sense than renting a shore house. Here's why. You get all the amenities of a resort. You get the pools. So if the weather's bad, you have the indoor pool, you have the beautiful outdoor pool, you got the pool bar right there. And then, you know, a shore house, you got to do chores. You got to do the housekeeping and the towels and the Grand Hotel. They take care of all that for you. Plus, the rooms have kitchenettes. They got refrigerators, so you can make lunch for the kids. You can save some money that way. Bring in your own booze if you want to. I'm just saying. So there really does make a lot of sense. But start making those summer plans now, those Easter spring break plans now as well. Just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so weigh in on our YouTube chat about cursive writing. Do you think that our kids should learn it? It is a bill in the New Jersey legislature right now, sponsored by my buddy Don Fantasia, who's an educator, who said we should not lose cursive writing for our kids. Let me know your thoughts on that. Weigh in. I think it makes sense. I don't see a downside to it. I don't really think it hurts. So what the heck? I mean, you could argue there's bigger issues, but so we can do multiple things at once. I say good. I mean, you know, someday our kids might be president and then they have to sign. Well, you know, if you're going to become president, you got to learn how to sign cursive in a way that you can't read, like this. See, look at that. That scribble. It doesn't even look like anything that's in English. That's not auto pen right there. No way. No auto pen could recreate that. I'm just saying. I tell you, here's the real question of the day, though. You want to know what the real question is? Have you ever had a situation where special day, very, very excited about the day, and then somebody makes you a dish that you turn around and you're like, And you think about it and you start spending time on it. You start thinking to yourself, I think that dish might be a little overrated. So So let me ask, let me start with this question for you, Matt DeSantis. What are your thoughts on chicken parm?
I like chicken parm. Who doesn't like chicken parm?
Mm-hmm. Did you order chicken parm in Italy?
I did not. No, I don't even remember seeing it on the menu.
All right, good. I'm glad you did not order chicken parm in Italy. Here's the issue that I have. This week, I had a special day. I'm not going to mention what the day was. But then I come home and I walk out of my home studio and there's chicken parm there. I think chicken parm, it's really starting to get to me. I think it might be the single most overrated dish in America.
No, it's good.
Eh. It's breaded chicken with sauce and cheese. It's all it is. And I saw the other day, there was a whole article about New Jersey or Philadelphia's best chicken parms. I'm like, really? Like, veal parm, I understand. There's a difference. Because you get it on the bone, you pound it thin, you know what I mean? Chicken's freaking chicken. It tastes the same. It really does.
That's why you got to drown it in the sauce, the mozzarella cheese, and the breadcrumbs.
Exactly. That's the point. I mean, it all tastes, the best chicken parm doesn't taste that different from the worst chicken parm, as far as I'm concerned.
Actually, you do have a point there. I don't know that there's a drastic difference in any chicken parm in terms of taste that I've ever had. They all do kind of just taste like sauce, cheese, and chicken.
I got, if I finally won you over to my way of thinking on food, maybe I can convert you away from brioche buns now.
No, I still love brioche buns. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But you may have persuaded me that the chicken parmesan is sort of like the diner of dishes. Like, I've never been to a diner and thought, wow, this food is amazing. But I've also never gone to a diner and thought, this food is terrible. It's all kind of middle of the road.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I think if you're going to a great Italian restaurant anyway, you shouldn't be getting chicken parm. First of all, they don't really have chicken parm in Italy. This is an American dish. It's not an Italian dish. If you go to Italy and you order a chicken parm, it's a freaking fugazi. You might as well be at the Olive Garden in Rome. You know what I mean? You might as well be there. Seriously. But all I'm saying is I've had veal parm is different because obviously this veal is best in the city. Totally different situation. You're talking about the age of the veal. You're talking about how it's pounded out. If it's thin, you don't want a fatty piece. It can't be chewy. That's a whole different animal. Literally, it's a cow versus a chicken. Different thing. I'm not talking about veal parm. I have the highest respect for veal parm. Nobody respects veal parm like I do. But chicken parm? As a special dish? No. No, I'm sorry. No. That's a kid's dish at best. That's a dish you get when you go out with the family at something, and you're at a place, and you're like, I guess I'll get the chicken parm. You know what I mean? That's what I think that is. I agree. Eggplant parm is better. Eggplant parm is better. You know why it's better? Because you got to get good eggplant. You got to make sure the eggplant is not, it's got to be fresh. You got to do a whole thing with the eggplant where you got to get the juices out so it doesn't get too juicy. I agree. Eggplant parm is good. Chicken parm is the lesser parm. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Chicken parm is the lesser parm. There's no one who disagrees with me on this point. Justin, you agree?
No.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
No, you've gone too far now. Chicken parm is definitely better than eggplant parm.
No, eggplant parm is better. It's a classier dish anyway. That's the way
it's
it is.
Classy. It's an eggplant. No, it doesn't have as much
chicken
flavor.
Parm. The only way chicken parm is good is if it has to be so crispy. Then you wind up the sauce, you can make it gooey, and then, you know what I mean, the cheese, and people don't do it right. And I don't know. To me, it's very, very simple. If you have a choice between chicken parm and veal parm, unless you have some sort of a beef allergy and you order chicken parm over veal parm, you're dead to me. I'm sorry, but you're dead. There's no other way to put it. This is blowing up the YouTube chat right now. This is going to cause another war within the Zulu army. That's okay. We need a good civil war. It's been a long time. This could be what starts it. Finally, this is it. Although, get a haircut? John, why don't you get a haircut? How about that? Hot veal parm is the worst? Oh, I get it. That's a joke. Shelly hates veal parm? How do you hate veal parm? Veal is cruel. I feel like if you're going to kill the cow anyway, you might as well kill it while it's young, right? I mean, why let it live knowing it's going to die anyway? Give it a false hope. Just take it and end it. You know what I mean? I'm throwing it out there. Let the cow live a long life. think the cow's going to be okay one day, going out to pasture, hang out with the other cows. Like, nope, sorry. Now you turn it into a freaking steak. You know what I mean? I don't know. Either you eat meat or you don't. That's the way I look at it. But if you don't, then you go eggplant parm, which is delicious. Really delicious. But you got to get the skin off and you got to get the juices out. You got to put salt on it and put paper towels on it to get all the juice out. Otherwise, you get a soggy freaking mess is what you do. You get a soggy mess. But can we all agree, though, if nothing else, whether you like chicken parm or you hate chicken parm, can we all agree it's not a dish for a special occasion? Can we just agree on that? It's not a special occasion dish. It's not a birthday dinner dish. It's not a birthday dinner dish. And the other point I'll just say is that if you're married to somebody for close to 18 years and you've never one time in your life ordered chicken parm in your life, why are you serving it to that person on their birthday? Can I just get this off my chest? Hypothetically speaking, of course. Hypothetically.
It's a good thing Bridget doesn't listen to this show.
Love chicken parm, hate chicken parm. I don't really care what your personal feelings on chicken parm are. I just think we can all agree this is not a special occasion dish, okay? It's not. It's a Wednesday dish at best, maybe a Tuesday dish, and that's it. You call it a day, it ended. Nobody on their last meal is getting chicken parm. No one. Veal parm? Maybe. If I'm on death row, I may get a veal parm. If it's nice, chopped out, pounded out thin, I might do veal parm as my last meal. That could be a very strong possibility. Chicken parm? I'd rather starve. Kill me on an empty stomach. I'll go out intermittent fasting. See if that helps. I might do that instead. All right. We got a big 4 o'clock hour coming up straight ahead for you. What did the president say regarding Russia and Ukraine? Will there be peace? We'll find out straight ahead.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.